All right, there you go. Okay, whoever was calling us out, we clapped. It was your feedback has been noted. Okay, welcome everybody to the 27th episode of the Back of the Shul podcast. Can't believe we've already hit that number. So we've got a jam-packed episode today. We have the Bitcoin rabbi. It's exactly what it sounds like, a rabbi who's into Bitcoin. Even though he explained it to us in very, very, very elementary terms, I still can't say that I totally understand it, but just listen to the interview and I'm sure you'll understand it. I might not understand it, but you will. So please pay attention to every single minute. No, it was actually, in all seriousness, it was very informative, very enlightening. It was a very enjoyable person to speak to. We've got minion updates, and because we're putting this out on TubeAv, see guys, now we have to put this out on TubeAv. We can't even delay it. Since we're putting this out on TubeAv, we're going to have...
Well, that's pressure on you, Shlomo, not
on
us.
All that means that Shlomo has to have it edited by then. Not that we ever edit or anything.
So we're going to do something, I guess we'll call it TubeAv Talk. I don't know what we're going to call it, Shotgun. I don't know what we're going to call it. Anyway, so we're just going to talk about TubeAv stuff, like dating and, you know, we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. We don't have any sponsors because I just totally forgot about it. But guys, who do we want to be sponsored by?
I mean, you could just say that we're sponsored by certain people and then just, I guess, tell them later, like, you're sponsoring us and hope they say yes. And if not, not.
Sponsored by Rechnet.
So where was I? We're cutting this part. I don't even remember where I was at. Joe, your Rechnet line totally threw me off.
Sorry.
Actually, you know what? Let's just do it. Today we are sponsored by the Back of the Shul WhatsApp chat.
Oh, yes. That is something that we're definitely going to do at some point.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you know what else we wanted to do, Menachem? We wanted to do Yeshiva reviews.
Yeah, yes. Right. Speaking of which, I think this could be an interesting idea. So the summer, it's the beginning of August now, so that means the summer is coming to an end. I can't even say this, it's so depressing. But the summer is coming to an end, which means Elzman is starting soon, which means yeshivas in whatever capacity that they're going to be opening in are going to be opening. So I was thinking that we should do yeshiva reviews. We should just show up to the Beis Medrash of yeshivas in the tri-state area and just look around, observe, just give yeshivas rating based on, I don't know, starkness, yeshivishness, greasiness, I don't know.
Length of tzitzis.
Right. I mean, there's so many different ways that we can go with this. I mean, the truth is we're probably not going to be able to do this for a while because of Corona and everything. Like, I don't even know what the situation is with most yeshivas, so we'd probably have to wait for this. This is more of a thing that we'll probably do, I don't know, maybe in like the middle of Wintersman or something. Yeah, but I think it's a good idea, something that we should do at some point. So.
Yeah, totally. All right, so let's get right into it. Minion updates, I'll start. I have a few, actually. They're all Tisha B'Av related. The first one, I'm going to give a hat tip to loyal listener, actually. Loyal listener, good friend, great guy, even better person. Shalom Orlean. So he and I were discussing on Tisha B'Av night the abject commercialization of Tisha B'Av. He pointed me in the direction of there's one thing that's, I don't know if it's worse than from LinkedIn, but it's certainly, if it's not number one, it's 1A, and that is just from Instagram, which is just an abomination. So apparently,
hey, we're actually trying to get into that, so we'll see if that works. We actually made our first post ever, so.
Yeah, that's true. We just broke. We cracked. We wanted to see how long we can go without posting anything. No, but this is bad radio. But he pointed me in the direction of these from influencers. Okay, so someone got all glammed up, you know, makeup, everything, did the ducky face, you know, kissy face or whatever you want to call it, selfie, with the caption, heading out to Eicha now. Have an easy and meaningful fest.
Oh, that reminds me. I saw something similar to that. It was like Happy Tisha B'Av or something.
No.
I sent something. Sent like, yeah, I sent this to the chat. I sent
happy Tisha B'Av. First day of the 9 days.
something. One second. Let me. Yeah, it was right. That's what it was.
It was the salmon. It was the salmon thing.
Yeah, someone was posting like happy first day of the 9 day salmon or something like that. DJ LeMayu. Yes. Sorry.
And with like. tied up. And with like. With love sponsors and everything like that, with sponsors, like everything from top to bottom is just so wrong. And it got me so riled up. Like, I understand that Tisha B'Av, you know, the base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Sin HaSchinim, but like, this is a good reason. This is a good reason.
Yeah, it's not Chinam in this case.
Yeah, I think it's, you have a sponsored, have a meaningful fast post. Like, it just boils my, and also getting all glammed up for it.
If Kamsa and Bar Kamsa saw that, they would agree on that. That's something they would agree on. That's a terrible thing.
Well, yeah. By the way, Kamsa Bar Kamsa, they would have done it, but it all would have been staged for the gram.
Right.
Aaron Judge, holy cow. Sorry, but I can't. Maybe you'll cut this. I don't know. But I cannot not say anything. The guy is absolutely insane. Another home run. His second one today.
Wow.
Yankees are up 9-7.
By the way, Menachem is very invested in the show right now. And by the show, I mean Menachem, MLB the show.
Menachem, I want to point out how perfect this is with the overall theme of our podcast, which is Back of the Shul. Menachem's the guy who burst into shul. They're like, oh my God, Josh just hit a home run.
The guy is not normal.
You're the type of guy that shows up on like first day Yom Tov, like let's say Sukkot, when there's an important World Series game the day before and no one wants to know what happened, but you're the guy that has to like drop the hints, like, you know, a judge did last night, right?
At this point, you can't not know. We've just reached a point where the information just hits you in the face. Like there's no way you cannot, you can't just come after Yom Tov and watch the game. It's not possible at this point. And not know any information. Like, I just press my phone after Yom Tov and I have like a million things blasting me in the face of exactly what happened.
Anyway.
Okay, Yosef, what's your minion update?
Oh, no, I still have two more.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, also this year, my second minion update is also Tisha B'Av related. Actually, they all are. Okay, so basically, me and Kinnis don't exactly go so well together, but the best way to get through it is if you take the bathroom break by around like the late teens, early 20s, Kinnis, right? You break it up.
I don't know. I feel like that's a little early. I feel like it would have to be.
It's not. You take a nice. 20s. Well, I guess it depends on you know, the pace and the speed of the Kinnis in your shul. But generally speaking, the bathroom break in middle does break it up very nicely.
It has to be, and because otherwise you have to leave. You can't take a bathroom break at like 34 and come back.
Yeah, once you're in that deep, you're committed. You've reached the point of no return. But if you hit that sweet spot, like late teens, early 20s, you could do it. It happens to me this year. I prefaced a kinnah. I introduced a kinnah, and I did the Arze Halavanan.
Look at this guy.
Oh yeah, sorry. I should have prefaced. Not to brag.
Yeah, I mean.
Whew. Yeah. So. I spoke before a kinna, and I picked the number 21, Arze Halavanan. And I didn't actually take the bathroom break, but it worked. It actually worked.
Interesting. I'm not going to try that, but it's an interesting idea.
Yeah. That was just my second point. And the third one is this year we sent our kids to Tisha B'Av camp, which is an unbelievable invention. I mean, we're talking, it's almost not a fast day anymore, you know, when you don't have to take care of your kids on a fast day. And I was thinking, and I even told Joe at Mincha when I saw him, I said, you know how they say like halva is hames, right? Escorting a mace is the ultimate chesed shalom, is because it can never be repaid. I think Tisha B'Av camp is on that level because I can never repay the counselor. I mean, I pay them.
But that's not repaying.
But it's not repaying. Meaning, like, I can't repay them for the ultimate chesed that they just did for me. I should get. Actually, my mother-in-law is a very loyal listener. My in-law sponsored it. Shout out to my in-laws for that.
So I had two of them. One is something that was going on as we were starting up to record the podcast, which is that whoever thought that email pop-ups were a good idea should die a slow and painful death.
Email pop-ups.
You know the bottom right of your screen when you first open your computer, and every email that you've had up until that point pops up.
You mean notifications?
Whatever it is.
You know, you could just turn those off.
Yeah, you could just turn those off.
I don't get any of those.
I'm not using my computer now. And not a joke, 50 to 60 emails pop up. Whoever thought that it was a good idea should die a slow and painful death.
Okay,
that,
Joe, that was more current. Basically, your minion update is that you suck at technology.
Basically.
This seems like a very easy fix. But whatever.
This is the significantly more important one. Donald Trump is the greatest troll in the history of the world. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Stick to sports. Stick to sports.
If you go onto Donald Trump's website and do donaldjtrump.com/ and put in a bunch of letters, you know what shows up? A picture of Joe Biden going, "Hey, I'm lost too." And then the options to take you back to the rest of the website. It's genius. It's absolute genius.
That is funny. That is objectively funny. Again, stick to sports.
Oh, I just thought it was really funny.
Okay, so
I don't know what you were going to say, but I was just reminded by what you were saying earlier about the Kinnis, is that I forgot a very important fast day activity that we should have included.
It's
measuring the thickness of the amount of pages left in the Kinnis versus how much passed already.
So, just to see
how much you have left.
You got to wait till Yom Kippur, because that's when it really comes in.
So I was thinking right now that it's really only Tisha B'Av that we do it, but I guess also Yom Kippur. What other? I guess there's Rosh Hashanah also. Is there anything else?
Yes. What's it called?
Hoshana Rabbah.
Hoshana Rabbah.
When you lose count of how many you're up to, and then you get to the Kalma Vassers and you don't know how many Kalma Vassers are left.
But that's not really a thickness of a pages
thing. No, that's not the thickness of the pages. That's a confusion because we only say it once a year.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the thickness of the pages. I feel like there's another one.
I have two more. Okay, so one of them is not really religious related, but Harry Potter books.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever looked forward, though.
Whenever I'm reading a long book, it's just like when you reach the halfway, at some point you're like, okay, I'm before the halfway point, and then after the halfway point is just a whole nother thing. It's like I have less thickness left. But Erev Rosh Hashanah Slichas, that's another one.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's a big one. I would say like it's not really okay. Matzis Maaseh. Like the really long double parshas.
That's good in the aspect of that it takes a long time, but I don't really think that's a page thickness thing. Like, there's not enough pages really, unless you're using like the Rashi art scroll Chumash.
Right. I would say also like this doesn't really help because you can't really do so much. But let's say just totally not to brag, but us Daf Yomi learners, when you're counting down the pages of a really long Masechta. It's just something to do when you're bored during a shir. Like you just, like 157 blot and I'm on Daf Lamed, but you're still counting down the thickness.
Unless you use an art scroll, in which case you have to start pulling other volumes off the shelf.
Yeah, exactly.
In art scroll also, especially since one daf could be like 10 pages, depending on. All right. Yeah.
Wait, who just went?
We just finished our minion updates.
Oh, also, I had an interesting Shilas Uchuvas. I don't know if someone's going to include this or not, but I'll ask you, see where it goes.
Okay, let's see.
So it's actually connecting both things that we're talking about Tisha B'Av and talking about dating. So which do you think is the better feeling? Eating right after Tisha B'Av? Or farting right after a date, right after you drop the girl off, you're free, just letting it out.
That's a great question.
Wow.
I feel like they're both pretty high up there.
I think the answer to that question is yes.
That is a great answer.
Okay. Now that we've just alienated a few people.
Yeah.
Only Pasek people.
Let's talk. Let's actually talk. Let's get into that. Let's do Tu B'Av. Do we have a name for this? it's a one-time segment, basically. Maybe we'll spin it off. But Tubav Talk, Caller Shadchan.
I think Caller Shadchan is fine.
How about drop the Shadchan?
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into Caller Shadchan. So the reason we're doing this is, as we said at the top of the episode, we're putting this out on Tubav, and we figured it's a good time to talk about like dating stuff. First of all, back in those days, I mean, wild times, wild times on Tubav.
Yeah, why don't we do that anymore?
I just want to know what was the point where a bunch of people got together and like, guys, I think this is the last year we're doing this. I think we got to regroup.
I never thought of that. Yeah. I just figured it was the truth is, I guess I always just assumed that they were just doing it, and then at some point someone tried to kill us, so we had to just go into hiding, and then we just couldn't do it. And then by the time it was just like the next opportunity, we were just living in a different country, and it was just like, yeah, no, I guess we're just not doing this anymore.
Yeah, but you have to imagine at that meeting, someone be like, hey, like, we should totally do this. But someone had to have said, remember what happened last year? And I don't know where it all fell off.
This conversation definitely took place in middle of the whole celebration, where one person turned to another person and was like, yeah, no, next year?
We can't do this next year.
Didn't they also do this on Yom Kippur? Am I remembering the Mishnah wrong? Like, didn't they also do this stuff on Yom Kippur?
What do you think the reception would be if they tried to reinstitute it? Like, how do you think that proposal would go?
I think there would be a good amount of people who would be into it.
I feel like they'd have to do a feeling out process through, like, the Shidduch roundtable.
It's true. Should get Rabbi Bender on it, see what he has to think.
Well, you have connections.
Connections is a very strong word.
Okay, yes, the Mishnah in Tainus does say that this was on Yom Kippur as well. So again, what changed? Like, first of all, what was that like, and what changed? And when did they do that? Like, did they go during the break? Like, in between?
For sure.
Mosef and Mincha, there are guys like...
No, okay. It was by Yisker. They did it really quick.
Yeah.
Kinder Arise!
Yeah, and I don't know. I've always had questions on that mission. Like, when they would say the Pasuk, Sheker Achein Behevle Yefi, whatever. It's like, okay. There were only certain types of people that were saying that. Like, let's be real.
They all had great senses of humor.
Yeah.
Great personality. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, now that we've gotten this off our chest, Tubav talk. So, yeah.
Just on a side note, is Tubav the most random No Tachman Day?
That's a good question. Maybe
Pesach Sheni, maybe.
But no, because that has a Daraisa.
Wait, one second. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what he means by random.
You have it right, Menachem. Pesach Sheni is a good one.
It's just like there's not really anything else. It's just like, oh yeah, we just don't say Tachna, whatever.
Right,
it's
but like, it, like, really if you were, I feel like if you were going to make a list of the times that we
Right, I do think that Tubav is the most random. I think Tubav might be last. Up there, but I think you're right.
Although I guess you could say Pesach Sheni is kind of unexpected. Like no one's in the zone.
Right, that's what I assumed he meant by random.
Right, but aren't you in like the reverse zone coming off Tisha B'Av?
Well, I mean, there's no talking on Tisha B'Av either.
It's true, but
nobody... by the way, underrated element. Underrated element.
Is it? I don't know if it is. I think people rate it enough. I mean, at least I do. I can't speak for other people. Okay, but the no Avinu Malkeinu, no Tachanun.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
All of this stuff is just all of it. It's just not another thing that we need to deal with. It's like the opposite of the Bahab situation. It's just Bahab, you have everything after it. Tisha B'Av, we have Kinnis, but that's it.
Right.
It's a well done fast. It's a very well done.
We complain a lot about Judaism on this podcast, but that's something they did right.
Okay, let's get off of this topic because I don't want to think about it. Let's talk about dating. So what are some bad dates that you've been on?
Yeah. Well, I guess before Menachem just goes ham on this. So Joe and I are both married. Menachem is single, as we've mentioned before. So obviously Menachem's going to have a little bit more to talk about than Joe and I. So let's just start you off, Menachem. Go.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a dating sucks. It's bad.
Well, what's the craziest dating related story or shidduch related story that you've ever had?
Well, there's a really crazy shadchan story that I had, but in regards to just like dating itself, like I feel like in regards to just having just really bad dates or like worst date stories, I feel like for the most part the girls have that because there's only so bad that a date can get for a guy, because you can always kind of just end it. Or okay. If it's not good, it's usually just either the girl's just not talking, which happens surprisingly often, which is isn't that the point? Whatever. I'm not gonna get into that. But
isn't that the whole point, Menachem? Aren't you supposed to get into that?
Well, I'm just saying in that I don't really understand why you're going on a date if you're not gonna talk, but whatever. But in regards to just worst dates, like I don't think I have any really interesting stories about like my worst dates. Was usually either just the girl was just really boring or not saying anything. But
I'm glad we did this segment.
No, but I do feel like I've had that. There was a date that I've been on with a girl that might have been one of her worst dates that she's been on. So,
okay, I'm listening.
I'm gonna give some background so that I don't sound that bad. But at the end of the day, it's like there's no getting around it. It was like it was not my finest hour. So, this was a date in Muncie. And I was upstate at the time. So it was the middle of summer. This is going back a few years. So this was, I didn't really, I guess, think about it that well beforehand, but it was on visiting day. So I was driving from upstate to Muncie on visiting day.
Okay.
Which, in retrospect, bad idea. But so.
Well, what time? What time? It was like late afternoon.
The worst time to be going. Yeah. So yeah. I gave myself like 2 hours, and originally right away I put into Waze it said like 1.5 hours. So I thought, okay, great, I'll get there like a half hour early. But it ended up taking 3+ hours. I had to get there really late, like over an hour late. And so already it was just not starting off well. And I was just really, I was a little tired before. I probably played baseball earlier in the day, but I don't know, the drive just made it so much worse. I was literally half asleep when I showed up there, and then on the date, I was half asleep, maybe full asleep at some point. It was very bad. And I don't remember everything that happened, because like I said, I was kind of half asleep, but I'll just tell you some tidbits that I do remember. So we went to a hotel lobby. I definitely just forgot about getting drinks at all. Like I just went and sat down. It was like it completely slipped my mind. I didn't even I realized like all of the stuff I realized after. But so I distinct another thing I distinctly remember is making fun of her job. She was, I think, either a lawyer or in law school or something like that, and I was just saying how boring it was. I don't know why. I honestly don't really have any excuses for this. This is just really bad. And I kept saying that I don't want to talk about politics. I don't even know if she was talking about politics. I just remember I was saying that. And I was talking about baseball for a really long time. I think when my mind turns off, that's just what comes out. I don't think there's anything I could really do about that. And also, I think she was a Mets fan, and I think she mentioned maybe at some point that she went to a certain Mets game, and I just probably spent like a half hour just in my head trying to figure out which Mets game she went to. I just kept asking questions about it. It was like, it was just overall not a great situation. And also, usually after a date, like even if the girl says no, I'll usually get like, oh, she thinks you're really nice, but it's not going to work out or whatever. This was just, well, one second, what were the exact words? I think the exact words were, she said that on paper it seemed good, but in actuality it didn't work.
So, okay.
That was it.
Harsh but fair.
Yeah. So overall, not great.
Okay, and let's hear the Shadchan story.
Oh, okay. So this is a little bit wild, but so this is, let me start off. This is going back a while. So I think at some point this Shadchan contacted a friend of mine and said she wanted for a certain girl only boys that went to a specific yeshiva that I was in. So there's me and another friend also of this guy that went to that yeshiva. So he gave her both of our numbers. I was fine with that. It's like, I'm fine with people giving shotguns my number. It happens all the time. But then this one called. At first, also, I thought that it was her daughter that she was calling for. But then the end, I think they just had similar names. I don't know, whatever. So she called me, and this was right after I gave a yes to someone. So I was like, I'm going out with someone now. I'll let you know if anything changes or whatever. So then a few days later, she calls me again. I was like, still going out with someone. I'll let you know if something changes. Then I mean, maybe a week later, she called me up again. I'm still going out with the same girl. I said, I'm still going out. You don't need to keep calling me. If something changes, I'll let you know. Just stop calling me. And this girl I was going out with at the time, I must have been going out with for at least 2 months. Without fail, every single week, at least once a week, I get a call from her. So, and I eventually just stopped answering. And she was sending me texts and was like, please, this is the Shadchan we spoke, call me. And at a certain point, like, this is just getting ridiculous. I'm not doing this. And eventually, like, even after, like, it didn't work out between me and that other girl, she just every single week I've never seen anything like this. She just keeps calling me every single week and texting. Wow. I'm just like, at this point, you have to realize, like, if you have any common sense, that I'm just ignoring you. And also, my friend, the other friend that went to the same yeshiva as me, she kept calling him also, like, every single, we would get calls like a minute or two apart, and we would just like text it, yep, she's calling again. So, wow. And then, so at some point, I told my friend, like the one who gave the shot from both of our numbers, I said, can you just like tell her I died and that's it, so she stops calling me? I didn't honestly expect him to do it, but he was at a point where he was like about to get engaged, so he didn't really care. So he's just like, yeah, sure. So he did. He texted her that I died. So, and the text exchange after that was unbelievable. She was just like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What about you? What's going on with you? Are you still there? It was unbelievable. He's like, but I'm really upset about my friend. She's like, yeah. But what about the other one? Like the other one who went to the yeshiva, like what about him? He's like, we couldn't believe it. Like, there's nothing to say. And it was just ridiculous. And lest you think that's the end of the story, and also lest you think that she didn't believe him, so a little while later, maybe like, I don't know, a month or two later, I was in Brooklyn with this friend of mine who texted the Shadchan that I was dead. So, and another person, like someone who I knew was in the same yeshiva as me, he goes over to the other guy, like I guess when I was doing something else, and he said, like, who is that? And he says, yeah, it's Menachem Schoenfeld. He's like, I thought he was dead. And he's like, well, it's like, yeah, I was speaking to the Shadchan, and like we were talking about it because we went to the same yeshiva, so she's obviously for some reason set on finding this girl, a boy who went to that yeshiva. So they were talking. He was like, oh yeah, and Menachem Schoenfeld died. I don't know how it came up, but like, and he was like, what? I can't believe it. And he was just like, okay, whatever. I just assume he's dead. And then when he saw me, he's like, he didn't really think it was me because I was dead. So apparently, like, she was also telling people that I died. So whatever. It was a bit of a wild situation. But yeah, that's probably the strangest shotgun experience that I had.
That lived up to the hype.
I told you guys I had an interesting shotgun experience.
Yeah. Menachem had been hyping this up. He didn't tell us what the story was, but he said that he had an unbelievable shotgun related story, and wow. I don't even know where to go from here.
It's a stunning thing. I have a picture in my head of who the Shadchan is, and I have absolutely no clue. But I think we all know someone like that.
Yeah, I've never met her.
I don't, actually. I actually don't know anybody like that.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe not exactly like that. I don't know. It was an interesting experience. So it's possible that at this day there are many people walking around thinking that I'm dead.
Guys, if you know someone who thinks that Menachem is not alive anymore, please point them in the direction of this podcast and have them listen. You know,
unless it happens to be this Shadchan, then please do not tell her that I am not dead, because she has stopped calling me since he told her that I was dead. So I'm very happy because my other friend is still getting calls once a week. So
wow.
To this day, he is still ignoring her calls, and she's still calling him once a week. He's married?
No,
the other guy. There were three guys. Oh, there was three, the okay, one who told her about us two. So, and then there's the me and the other guy who are both still not married, and she still calls him every week to this day, and I do not get any calls anymore because she thinks I'm dead. So I would like to keep it that way.
Wow, that is crazy. My question would be, so you've told us, you know, the craziest Shadchan story ever. So I guess that would answer the question, what's the most annoying Shadchan related thing that you experienced? But what's the most annoying thing that the girls you've gone out with, that there seems to be a common thread? Like, what's the most annoying thing that you've experienced?
The not talking thing is probably up there. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's the point of the date, but I don't know. Other than that, it's not really like that. This goes back to what I was saying about there not really being any ways to, I guess, for like guys to really have bad dates. There's nothing really crazy that girls do. I mean, like, there's interesting things that they've said.
But I think the not talking thing, I actually think that's like super, super.
It is. I don't want to downplay how annoying the not talking thing is. However, compared to some stories that I've heard about things that guys did, it's like, I think in that aspect, girls have the short.
There are, but I don't know. I just think, like, you know, the guys are schlepping in. They're planning the dates. Like, to not talk, I think it's like the height of entitlement. I
agree with you in that aspect of that. It's really annoying to have to plan the date and drive, especially with those I cannot stand Muncie days. It's just so far.
Very important question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is mini golf a good date or a bad date?
I think I've only ever been on a mini golf date once, and it was neutral. Oh, actually, interesting story on that date. There was one hole where I was talking about the Yankees. This is me. In my defense, I think she was a big Yankee fan, so it wasn't like I was just talking into thin air.
Wow, good save.
Either way, I think I was talking about the Yankees before one of the holes, and I got a hole in one. So the next hole, she's like, oh, maybe I should try that. She's like, oh, Yankees, blah, 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 and went and just like hit the ball, and she also got a hole in one. So that was interesting.
Wow. So talking baseball on a golf-related date.
Good idea.
That is electric. That is electric factory right there.
But yeah, I don't know. Just in regards to saying, I don't know. I mean, like, I've had girls tell me interesting things that it was just, I don't know, that I found strange. Maybe I had one girl tell me that she won't take books out of the library because of germs. Like, this was before Corona. I thought that was a little weird.
Wait a second. Shlomo, what are your feelings on that?
You know, I think she makes some salient points.
Oh, my God. You can't be serious.
Oh, I'm.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
I am dead serious.
Oh, God.
I am dead serious. That's why I buy all my books.
I don't know. I guess other things is like, this is another thing that I'm not really sure if the truth is I met another guy that did this, but for the most part, I really only hear of girls doing this, is just keeping a list of all the people that they dated and like comments about them.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I just think it's a little bit weird. I mean, I guess after dating for this long now, maybe it would be nice to be able to just, I don't know, look back and see everyone. But I don't know. What's the point?
Yeah. Should we make this a recurring segment? Because we have to move on to the Mizrachman, but we should make this a recurring segment.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we have that also.
Just give Menachem 5 minutes to rant about dating every episode.
Yeah, but also the problem is that I don't really want to bash girls because, I mean, first of all, there's no one – like, they're not here to defend themselves. So there's like, I'm not just going to start, like, going in on certain things. Like, I could complain about things that – like general things people say or do, but I don't want to like go into specific things. It's like, I mean,
well, you know,
but the truth is, even though after saying that, I am going to say something, but this is something that has bothered me as a short guy. it's bothered me when I heard people say this. The reason why I'm going to say this, I don't think it's really bashing girls, because I don't think it's the girls themselves that say it. I think it's a lot of other people that say this about them. I hear all the time that I feel so bad for tall girls. It must be hard for them to find like a guy tall enough to date. It's like, I don't know if they realize how ridiculous that sounds, but that's like in my head, that's the equivalent of saying like, oh, I feel so bad for pretty girls. They have to find a really good looking guy to date. It's like, I don't think I've ever met a single short guy who's not willing to date a girl that's taller. It's only from the girl's side that I'm hearing like, oh yeah, I'm not going to go out with him. He's too
Which
short.
Comedian? Yeah. Some comedian has that I think it's Mark Normand has a bit on that actually.
I don't know. So it was just a thing that at this point, I'm just like saying things that pop into my head. But once again, I don't think like, before people get on me about this, I don't think that it's a thing that the girls themselves are saying. I think it's things that people who aren't really aware they just like to say, because people just like to blame the guys for everything. Whatever. Okay, let's get into the Mizrachman. My complaining session is over for now.
Okay, so call
keyword Shadchan. Keyword there being for now.
Right. So call Shadchan segment inaugural segment done for now. Let's move to the Mizrachman. So really keeping in line with the theme, the Tubav theme, we have the Mizrachman of unwritten dating rules. Now, okay, let's just preface this. It has to be said. We're talking about shidduch dating. So if you're going to be like, oh my God, you did shidduch dating? Wow, so charedi. Shut up and just listen, okay? Okay, no one needs to hear that. Just keep it to yourself, okay?
Also, if you found your own shidduch and you married the first girl you dated and it's all fine, like, I don't want to hear that either, please. Just keep it to yourself.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about traditional, you know, shidduch dating. Yes, it's a messed up system. Okay. No, we have a show, so we can vent about it if you would like to, you know, by all means, join in, but this is what we're talking about.
Leave us a voicemail.
Yeah, you could do that. You could do that. So who goes first?
One second. I actually thought about this before the show, but I forgot.
Thank you.
Hold on.
Thank
I know I went first last time, and then it was Shlomo, then you. So now it's Shlomo, Yosef, then me.
Oh, okay. I guess mine, this could be interpreted different ways, and I don't mean in you know, a negative way. Mine would be, don't linger after opening the door. You know, opening the door to the car, don't linger. Just play it cool, okay? Just
okay, so we're not gonna go with the opening the car door. That's one of them. So you were just skipping that. And
I'm skipping that. I'm skipping
so
that.
Like,
yeah.
You're making sure that no one could take that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
It's a defensive play.
Yeah, it's a defensive play. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So when you're opening the door, right? So I just blocked that. Don't linger. Don't linger. Just keep it moving.
I think this might go into what you're saying, is that I feel like a part that people might not get. I didn't realize this earlier until a girl told me that, like, some guys, they don't close the door after. It's like a big part of opening the car door is also the closing of the car door once she gets in.
Oh, see, I disagree with that.
No, that's what I'm saying. No,
open the door, As soon as she starts getting in, walk away.
Yeah, keep it moving. Keep it moving.
No, this is not what I've been from now, the reviews that I'm getting. No, the reviews that I'm getting is that you should open the door. She gets in, and then you close the door. Because if you open the door wide, and then she gets in, then she's gonna have to like reach out. I don't think we're on the same page here at all.
Time out. Okay, my wife's in the room. Does it make sense to close the car door after opening it? Or do you keep it moving? Open the car door and keep it moving. She said keep it moving. It's weird.
I don't know. That's not the reviews that I was getting from.
Listen, I'm telling you, like, two married guys are telling you to keep it moving. I don't know. Could this be
the girls themselves are saying that an integral part of the door opening is the closing.
You're going out with weirdos. I'm sorry.
No, I think the answer is very simple. Menachem, don't open the door as wide as you're opening it now. Open it a little less wide so they can pull the door closed themselves.
I don't know. It's still.
Menachem has like.
I disagree. Like
a sliding door.
I don't. You know what? Maybe we could have some people weigh in on this.
Well, 20% of our audience is female, so.
Yeah, I noticed we've been it used to be like 14, now it's 20.
Yeah. All right, Menachem, go.
Okay. No, it's Yosef's turn.
I'm going to go next. I think this is probably the biggest unwritten rules, which is the first date should be 3 hours.
I see between 2 and 3.
Yeah, no, but basically the 3 hour rule from door to door. From when you pick her up to when you drop her off, 3 hours. Now, naturally, first date with my wife was nearly 5 hours, completely by mistake because my phone died. But, yeah, the 3 hour rule.
Okay.
That's a good one. Okay. So my first one is going to be we should also qualify that these rules are for like the first few dates until like you're dropping a shot on whatever. Yeah. Like once you do that, like all this is off. It's just, it is what it is. But like at the beginning, just, you should not be taking out your phone in the middle of the date really at any point. That's a big one.
Yeah. So word of advice to the people who are, to the people who haven't started dating yet, who are in our audience, that's what the bathroom's for.
Yes.
Yeah.
So another one. There's one that I feel like is really good, but I don't think either of you are gonna take it. I think I could get it on the back around. So I'm not gonna say it. And I'm gonna go with shave before the date. It's just one of those things that for me specifically, I pretty much never shave aside from when I'm dating. So it's just like, just a thing that, like, yeah, before you go on a date, shave. That's it.
My second one, I don't know.
How I just want to go. I just wait Joe, before you go. I just want to go on record that was a very liberal use of the word. That was a very liberal usage of unwritten dating rules. The shaving thing. Okay, go showering.
Like, I think this is more of a common sense one than anything else, but. Don't talk about how much you hate dating on a date.
Okay, so I had one also. Like, I had a girl that I was dating tell me about something she felt that was really rude that a shadchan mentioned to her. Like, the night we had gone out a few times already, and she said she was talking to a shadchan the night before, and she didn't like the conversation. I was like, what? Like, why? Even, I don't care if you're talking to a shadchan. Like, okay, whatever. It's not serious. Like, it was only a few dates, but. Why are you bringing that up to me?
Right.
You know, about someone
that
else.
That was a little weird.
That was mad.
I just,
weird.
I feel like, you know, sitting down, you know, you just walked into, let's say, the hotel lobby, you sit down and just, so this sucks.
Yeah, I don't know. Ugh. Okay, so I have two now, right? Okay, so my first one is firm handshake when you're meeting the father. Very firm handshake.
That's a good one. Very good one.
Yeah. Okay, my next one, I could probably get this in the fourth round, but I'm just gonna put it here, and we're not gonna go into detail, and we're all gonna be adults about this, and no adjusting, end of story. Next pick.
It's fair.
Yeah, I would agree with that one. That should have been a first pick.
Yeah. Okay, Joe.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with it. There's no smooth way to drop the shadchan and ask in shidduch dating to ask a girl for her number. So don't try to be smooth. Just ask her for her number.
That's fair.
When you get to that point, it's not gonna happen. I literally said those words. I said there's no smooth way for me to ask for your number. So can I?
Can I have your number?
I don't know. I feel like it just happens or it doesn't. I don't know.
All right, Menachem, your last two.
Okay, so this one is, I guess, a little bit specific, but I guess after you've been dating for a while, you go to a lot of the same places. So just, I guess, pretend you haven't been there before. Like, don't just be like, oh, yeah, I saw this already. We do that and saw that. And like, oh, yeah, if you go over there, there's that. It's just like, oh, wow, isn't that interesting? Look at that. It's like, it's just, it doesn't have to be like something huge, like, oh, my God, I'm so surprised. But just like, you don't have to say that, like, oh, yeah, I've been here with like 15 girls already. It's just like, right. Pretend that, like, oh, yeah, isn't that interesting? Like, I don't know, whatever. It's just,
oh, my God, a couch in a lobby. Is this water? Actual water?
Yeah, there's like one or two places that I go to all the time, and I always like I don't like carry on, but it's just like, oh, look at that, isn't that interesting? Like, I have one or two things. It's like, whatever. It is.
Wait,
it's like,
wait. What do they serve at Starbucks? Tell me.
Okay, so
that's a good one.
And there's another one, but I feel like it's a little too similar to that one. But I'm gonna do a different one. So what I'm gonna go with is just in general, try not to use the bathroom at her house. Like, even if you have to go, they're gonna ask you like, oh, do you need to use the bathroom? This goes. So I have another, you know, I'm not going to say something that's directly related to this in case one of you want to say this, but I'll maybe say it later in the honorable mentions. But this is just, it's one of those things that, like, even if they ask you, just don't do it. Like, even if you really have to, like, stop. Yeah, better to be 5 minutes late than to do that.
Yeah, this is the move. This is the move. And you took mine. I was going to say it a little differently, but it's the same thing. So I can't take it. You need to scope out a shul that's like in the immediate vicinity for afterwards.
So
before or after.
Off of that, during Corona, this makes this a lot harder. When I was dating during Corona, right. I mean, even now it still is, but like before it was just impossible because like nothing was open. So recently I was dating someone, it was a kind of a long drive, and pretty close to our house, there was a shul. I mean, so before that, there was a school like right across, but they just wouldn't let me in. Like, the janitor was sitting there. I'm like, can you just please let me use the bathroom? He's like, no, not letting you in. So that was really annoying. And then I just like drove around, found a shul, and thank God it was open, not locked, and went in, took care of it. But I was a few minutes late, but better to be a few minutes late than to be that guy. Even though there was one time where I had to, but it's a separate story, separate whatever, not for now. Not for now, but there was a time where I had to, and I had no other choice. Once, and that's it. But all the other times, I didn't.
Yeah, Menachem, my heart kind of dropped when you started with that, because that was the next thing on my list, which is, don't eat the stuff they put on the table. No one does.
Exactly. I made that mistake because nobody told me this. So the first date I went on, he offers me a cookie. I was like, yeah, sure. And then like the shocked look on his face convinced me that like probably should not do this again.
It's a trap.
I was probably the only person ever in the history of dating that did that.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, it's a cookie. And then I was like eating. He's asking me questions like my mouth. It was not good. Like,
it's never a good idea.
In case any of you listening are ever considering eating or even like taking a drink from what they just don't do it. Just don't. It's a trick.
It's a trick.
Don't do it. It's a trap.
they went into the toilet. They filled up a pitcher. Like there's nothing legitimate about anything that's on the table. It's a trap.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one. My last pick. I have a few here. Okay, I'm debating between the water and the car. Or no, you know what I'm going to go with? I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit, and I know that Menachem agrees with me, and I know that Joe, you disagree with me. Dave and Buster's, awful. Awful.
Yes, 100%.
I disagree.
A terrible day. Dave and Buster's is where I take a girl that I know I want to break up with, so at least like we're ending on a terrible day, so she doesn't have to feel bad that was like, oh, I thought this was going well. It's like after we went there, it's like, no, yeah, this was terrible. Like, okay, fine, I want to qualify
my disagreement here though. Dave and Buster's for the arcade part is a terrible date. Dave and Buster's for the pool is an excellent date.
But you could just go to a pool. I'm saying Dave and Buster's.
No. Specifically Dave and Buster's, because if it's going really, really well, then you can go to the arcade part.
I don't know.
Dave and Buster's. There's also, you can't talk there. It's so loud.
Not it's not like, you can't. Quiet.
I don't know. But all the Dave and Buster's that I've like, gone to have been
yeah.
loud.
Yeah, Dave and Buster's, New Rock City, like they're all the same thing. Like, it's awful. They're terrible.
And like, at the end is awkward. Like, what are we gonna do with the tickets? Like, you're gonna get a prize. What are you gonna do with it? It's like there's no normal way. It's just.
Now, the answer overall to that question is you buy her a prize with the tickets.
Yeah, but it's because there's no. Every single time I've done this, it's like, what do you want?
Okay, hold on, Menachem. I'm just gonna stop you there. What's going in Menachem's head right now is, I won all the tickets. What do you mean I'm not getting it?
Yeah. It's not, I don't care. This is, you know what? I said I wasn't going to complain about girls, but guess what? I am. So every single time I ask, like, do you have any preference? Do you have like, do you want to do this or this? Would you rather do that or that? Every time, I don't care. I know you care. And I know you have something that you would rather be like, if I'm giving you a choice, I know you prefer one of them, but you just don't want to say. And I don't know why. It's like there's never a point. I don't care. Like, if you want to go on a date to like China, fine. I'll do that. Like, I don't care. It doesn't make a difference to me at all. I just want to know so that like we don't go to something and you're like, and you hate this, but you just don't want to say.
Should we tell him that does not change once you get married? Should we tell him that? Yeah, because it doesn't.
Whatever.
Yeah. By the way, also what makes it awkward, like even if you're going to get something with the tickets, even if you actually are, you only have enough for like a keychain. Like, what are you going to get exactly? Like, okay, here's a keychain. It's just the lamest, stupidest place to go. I've never had.
And like, she doesn't actually like, and none of the things that you could afford with the tickets you got is anything that she wants. But once again, not that she would tell you if she did want it, but just also she doesn't.
So, right.
Whatever.
Okay, honorable mention. I'll just rattle off. Okay, mine is always have water bottles in the car. You're telling your funny yeshiva stories. They're actually not funny. So don't bring them up. Like you're. Oh, and then
that's
he,
a good one. Yeah.
And then he like yeah, and then he mooned the guys in the dorm. Okay, it's not funny. Okay, keep them to yourself. the whole like third date hashkafa talk, whatever it is, also dumb. Okay. But it is an unwritten rule. And on that note, having like, don't have like philosophical discussions. Like it just doesn't work. Okay. It's never going to come up, in a practical sense. And here's a good one that actually I was also debating for the Mizrachon. If you're going to Starbucks, do not order anything larger than a small coffee. That's all. I'm Evan Yavin. Do not order anything larger than a small coffee. Okay. Those are mine.
I'm going to go with This was a big one, which was have a straw for the water bottle because you don't want the girl to mess up her lipstick. Don't talk about other dates that you've had unless it's a funny story.
Like, right, that's like what Menachem was saying with the 10 years.
If you order something messy on a date, don't tell your sisters.
Wait, one second. Let me stop you there. Don't order something messy on a date.
But
okay.
If you do order something messy on a date, don't tell your sister/mother about it. And be on time, not early.
Okay.
This is actually a positive piece of advice, but everyone's worth a second date unless you can't stand being in the same room as the person.
So this is one of my things I was going to say is that just in general, don't say no after one date. There have been exceptions because there's exceptions to every rule, which is why
if you can't stand being in the same room as the person, then yeah, don't date.
No, there have been certain reasons why, and I'm not saying that there aren't any good reasons why, but in general, I'll tell you my rule that I have, and if I come home from a date and I don't want to kill myself, I'll go out again. I mean, you have to understand that there have been times that I didn't go out again. So it is what it is.
And then my
final, in general, that's my rule.
My final one is don't date multiple people at the same time.
Yeah,
I think that should be pretty obvious, but it is an unwritten rule.
Right.
Right.
In regards to things that haven't been, there's really only one other thing that I had, which was I also in relation to what I was saying before of like pretend you haven't been there before. It's the just like ask stuff even though you already know it from the resume. Like don't just say like, oh yeah, I know this from your like we all know that we all did the just like ask it and just like whatever. It is what it is. Like, oh yeah, which I yeah. Like don't just say like, oh yeah, I knew this. Just pretend that you forgot or don't know or whatever. Just make conversation. You don't have to be weird about it.
Right. And if you're asking so what type of music are you into on any date past the first date, you might as well just sink that ship because it is going nowhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that usually doesn't come up with me that much. Okay, a music person. Yeah,
it could apply to movies, TV show, anything like that. If you're asking that on any date past the first date, man, you've got issues. You've got issues. Okay, so I'm sure we're gonna get a lot of feedback, maybe even blowback. You know, we'll see. Based on this very very open ended conversation. Guys, we've been going for way too long. I'm going to have to cut so much. Okay, anyway, we've got an interview. After all this, we've got an interview. We got the Bitcoin Rabbi coming. I just hit my mic. We've got the Bitcoin Rabbi coming up. It was
It's very fitting that we interview the Bitcoin Rabbi, you know, right after Shidduchim, you know, a guy gets married. He's in Kyle. He has to come up with a way, you know, he's got to figure out a way to make some money. It doesn't have to be credit card points. Listen to this interview. And you'll figure out how to make money with Bitcoin.
There you go. Very good. Okay.
Oh, wait, we were gonna do 5-star reviews. Hold on.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
One second. On. I'm gonna get to it. Okay. Yeah. We have one. Okay. So this is by Amushki, titled "Concerned." I'm very concerned about how much I love this podcast. Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
I thought I was going to go a different way when I read the headline.
Yeah, so,
okay, that's nice.
That's a five. So that's a five-star review.
Yes, very nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So I guess on that note, here is the Bitcoin Rabbi. Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest, someone we've been kind of back and forth with the last couple of weeks, and after that whole Twitter Bitcoin scandal, I guess we call it, I don't know what to call it, after that whole thing happened, we had to have him on. He's an author, he's been featured on many cryptocurrency news sites, the World Crypto Network, Bitcoinist.com, The Block TV. He's sometimes known as Rabbi Michal Karas, although many of you might know him better as the Bitcoin Rabbi. So, Rabbi Michal, welcome to the back of the shul.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Glad to be here.
We are thrilled to have you here as well. So, I guess there's no other way to ask this except how in the ever-loving world does one become the Bitcoin Rabbi? Tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up here.
So you start off as a rabbi and then you discover. So, I mean, you know, I was in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael for about 4 years. I did my smicha. Right now I'm a teacher. It depends who I'm talking to. I'm a day school teacher, or if I'm like in Brooklyn, I'm a cheder rebbe. So, one of those. And, but I also, I do like web design, graphic design, video editing stuff on the side. Like that's my Parnassa after I'm done, you know, educating and learning Tire with my students. So I've always been like into the tech field, and I discovered, I've also have like a little bit of a political economic kind of historian bent to me. And so when I found out about Bitcoin in 2017, I just like dove in head first. So that's like how I, yeah, that's how I got into Bitcoin in 2017. Just like learning about it every day, reading videos. And then I kind of like joined the community. I was like, hey, as we'll maybe talk about, there's like some Jewish comparisons here, some interesting stuff. And I'm like, well, I, you know, I could talk to people. And then I decided to, I learned so much. I like was so involved in it. And since I'm a teacher, I like know how to kind of condense ideas down and try to simplify things. So I wrote, and I've got a bunch of kids. So I wrote a children's book to like explain it, to try and simplify it in the most simple way. So I've been doing that. I've been, you know, going around talking, I've gone to some conferences, and, yeah, it's been a real blast. And most of the people that I talk to are not Jewish, but of course all of the like not from Jewish people in the whole Bitcoin community like flock to me and are like, hey, Rabbi, like how'd you get here? So that's like a nice little treat that I get to like reach out to people as well, and like, you know, share with them.
Right. So going back to your children's book that you wrote, that's actually perfect, because I would love if you could explain to me Bitcoin like I'm 5 years old, because I know nothing about Bitcoin. So just anything that you could give me to help me understand it at even a basic level would be great.
Okay, so I'll kind of give you the rundown of how my book explains it. There's a bunch of kids that like live on the same cul-de-sac, and they all have like jobs that they do, like chores for their family. And they realize like one kid mows lawns, one girl has like a lemonade stand, and they're all trying to figure out like, how do we trade with each other? Like, you know, oh, I'll trade you one thing for another. That's called barter. You've maybe heard of that. But like eventually that kind of breaks down because the numbers don't add up. Like you need to save things. Like you need a lot of things to happen in coincidences for everything to match up to make barter work. So what works better is to find like one thing that is the like keeping track of what everybody owes everyone else. So they find one thing which works really well, and these are gold coins. And so gold has a lot of features that it's portable, it's divisible, it's easy to carry around, everybody knows what it is, and so everyone can use that. And it doesn't just have to be gold, but like in general precious metals. But they use that for a long time, and like we know that from the Torah that like gold, silver, copper, like precious metals are historically what have been money for thousands of years. Problem is they're very heavy, and the more you have, it's harder to keep around. So you end up sending them to a bank, and it works great if the bank gives you like a receipt and it says you've got one gold bar in the bank and here's your money back. But it doesn't work out so well if what we've seen the past century, if the banks just decide and the government decides like, we don't need any of that gold sitting in the banks anymore. We're just going to make as much money as we want. So in 2009, a computer scientist figured out a way to make a digital money. And because usually the problem with digital items, like if you ever send a picture to somebody, or you send a music file to somebody, like you don't lose it. Like you just copy it. They copy and they copy and it goes eventually to every single WhatsApp, you know, if it's good, worth sharing. So you can't have money that works like that, because you just keep copying it. So he figured out a way to make a money on the internet that's a limited supply. So he just invented this. He made 21 million and then he disappeared and he just like left it to everybody. So Bitcoin is this, it's like a digital gold. It's this online money that no one's in charge of. It's called decentralized, and you can just like buy and sell things and move it around. And, you know, you can email it to people and all this kind of stuff that, you know, is like money on the internet, but no one's in charge of it and no one can print more of it. So that's the like 2 minutes.
how did the original Bitcoin come to mean any? Like, how did
who found it?
So the guy that invented it was anonymous. He just made up a random name, like a fake name. He called himself Satoshi Nakamoto. And he posted it. He posted the idea and he got like a bunch of people to give him feedback. So for the first year, it was like worthless. No one cared. Like maybe a few dozen people were working on it. No one would pay a dime for it. And then like a year later.
How did that start?
Yeah, why would you? Right. Yeah, why would anyone pay for it? But a year later, people had it enough, maybe a few hundred people had it, and it built up an economy. So the first time anyone ever bought something with it that was like public, he posted on a forum. This was 2010, and he posted on a forum, hey, I've got 10,000 bitcoins and I want pizza. I don't have any cash, but I'll pay you 10,000. I live in Florida in such and such location. If you can get me by the end of the night some pizza, I'll send you 10,000 bitcoins. So that priced the Bitcoin at like 1/1,000th of a penny. That was in 2007 and 2010, sorry. And from there, it just kept kind of going on and more people caught on. Then it hit a dollar, then it hit $10. And right now, as we speak, one Bitcoin, it's just supply and demand. Like no one decides how much it's worth, how many people want to buy it, how many people want to sell it. It's so right now it's priced at $10,000 per Bitcoin.
So I actually had a question based on that, just because you brought up, you know, dollar cents and everything. Right now, you know, Bitcoin it's like this really mysterious, almost idea. Forget about currency. It's like this mysterious idea. How could it launch itself further into the mainstream where, you know, three idiots like us can understand it and we don't have to, you know, have the Bitcoin rabbi explain it to us like we're five?
Yeah, I think a lot of people mistake and think they need to understand the technology behind it. And because it's very the cryptography and all kinds of, there's lots of technology. But I mean, it's not really that much more complicated than the internet or your phone, which by that, I mean, it's very complicated, but like, who cares? So the fact is that, you know, it's piece by piece, people are working behind the scenes, and you wouldn't know if you're not in this industry. But even from where it is now to where it was 2 or 3 years ago, when I came in the space, everything has developed a lot more. The regulations around it have developed a lot more. So I mean, just like the internet, I mean, was invented in some ways in like the 60s and the 70s, but nobody started caring about it until 1990s with AOL, and like nobody cared about cell phones and stuff until, even though the technology existed. Yeah, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I see a future where this kind of digital, where like instead of a money that's like, oh, my American money and my Chinese money, there's just like the money of the internet, just like there's an internet.
What's preventing people from making more of it?
So it's because everybody's running the code. And I've tried to think of like good analogies for this. It's that every single person who is in the system is running their own code. And so when all you can do is like, people ask, like, couldn't it be hacked or something? It's not like hacked means like you, like Twitter got hacked. How did Twitter get hacked? Because Twitter is one central entity with like computers. And so if you get on their computers, then you're in charge of the whole Twitter. But Bitcoin is everybody's running the program on their own computer in their own house. And so you can't hack every single buddy in the world. And so as long as if one person like cheats and one person fakes it, everyone else in the world is running the real code and they'll just kick them off the network. It's kind of like if you're playing like a backyard baseball game, like the rules, everyone knows the rules of baseball. Everyone knows it in their head. And then if somebody comes and starts cheating and trying to tell you the rules are this, actually, I get 2 points, whatever. Every single person there says, no, you're cheating. That's not how it works. You get out of here and you play your own game if you want. So that's how the system works. It's decentralized so that no one person can be in charge of it and make print their own money.
Right. So, I mean, you did mention before the whole Twitter thing with the Bitcoin. Maybe you could explain that also to us. Like, we're, yeah, well, exactly what happened.
Yeah, so really, I mean, people got confused because it wasn't really much to do about Bitcoin. It was a Twitter hack. Somebody got access. Somebody, like, got their friend to give them their password, who was, like, some executive or some – I don't know exactly. They didn't say. But someone got on Twitter, but for some reason, he didn't have anything interesting to hack from it because, like, what are you going to do? They didn't have access to bank accounts. So all he did was post – he went on famous celebrities on Twitter and said, just give – you know, donate to my fund for Bitcoin and I'll send you back. So it was kind of like a silly thing because Bitcoin is a money that works over the internet. It's a very powerful money that if you want to do work with people over the internet, internationally, or I mean, we live in America and we feel safe and comfortable, but most people in the world live under like dictators and under terrible regimes where their money is controlled by like evil people. And so for them, there's this appeal that like, oh, there's money like that our evil governments can't take from us and can't print it and can't block it. And so that's an advantage.
So what makes Bitcoin, because there are other cryptocurrencies out there, but what makes Bitcoin better?
So Bitcoin is it's all about network effect, meaning that a money is only useful if someone else wants it from you. It's only valuable if the other people value. Same thing with like the US dollar. Everybody knows it's valuable because they know they trust the US government. They trust the US military is strong and all of that and the economy. So they trust it because it has this trust. So Bitcoin has lasted the longest, has the biggest network effect, has the biggest volume, has like a very strong team, you know, has security and has been checked and all of that. So it's hard to compete. So there are other competitors and they're trying to find like niches to not directly compete against Bitcoin, but to maybe like see if they can fulfill other roles. Bitcoin for by and large is worth about twice as much as all of the other cryptocurrencies combined.
What's is there any way to track Bitcoin, meaning as it moves around the world? Because regular money is tracked all the time to track criminals and taxes and all that kind of stuff. Is there any way to track?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually in some ways it's more transparent because when they say they track money, that's like it's the bank. I mean, you can't track the money of the dollars and all of this stuff. Like that's like bank secrets and the governments and stuff. And somehow the criminals still manage to get away with that. Bitcoin is what's called a public ledger. It's basically like a spreadsheet. You ever use like a Google Docs, like a Google spreadsheet? So that's it's really a spreadsheet. Meaning when people say Bitcoin, there's no like Bitcoins anywhere. There's no like thing. It's a spreadsheet like of accounts, just like a bank. Like you go to your bank, they don't have like a little drawer with your name on it with like dollar bills inside. It's just accounts on like a record keeping system. So Bitcoin is the same way. And but it's public. You can go on a website and you can just look at the entire history of every single Bitcoin that has ever existed, every single movement that it's made.
Okay, so I've had this question for a long time, ever since I first heard the term Bitcoin. Who is the richest Bitcoiner, if that's a word?
I don't know. There's the top 10. I mean, you wouldn't know who their names are. The guy who invented it is very interesting. He has a lot of Bitcoin, but he disappeared and he never spent any of his. So there's theories. Maybe he's dead. Maybe went to jail. Maybe went crazy. Nobody knows because he had a lot of, he could be a billionaire, but he's never spent one penny of his money. Not one single penny of his money.
Why?
So I think he's, huh?
Why is that? How come he?
We don't know. We don't know. He came. He put the code out there. He worked on it for a few months. He tried. He like got a feedback from people. He fixed a couple of the problems like that were early in the first few months, and then he just said like, "I'm leaving. I'm done." And he never showed his face. No one knows who he is. No one knows where he lives. No one knows if he's alive. And he seemingly could have. More than $1 billion worth of Bitcoin, and he just disappears, and he's never spent one penny, and you can tell he's never spent one penny because it's like public.
Right. So, I mean, the person you were talking about before, is that Satoshi Nakamoto?
Yes, that's
so,
right.
Yeah, so to prepare for this interview, I asked a friend of mine who knows something about Bitcoin, which is significantly more than I do. So I said, give me some questions that will make me sound smart. So one of the questions he gave me was, who do you think Satoshi Nakamoto is? Is he one person or a group?
Okay, so I have spoken to a lot of the developers who worked with the code, and what I've heard is those people all say that he was one person because they can tell, like, you know how you read someone's handwriting and you can clearly tell if it was one handwriting or multiple people wrote it. Right. So they read the code and like they can tell the quote, the handwriting of the code, and they think it was one person. Some people disagree, but all the people that I trust in the space, you know, I've had the schuss to talk to some, mostly like the Yidden, who are like, there's a couple Jews that are like, you know, have been working on it. And so they come to me and I'll ask them these questions. So that's what I've heard.
Okay. Well, I mean, another question that he gave was, do you think Bitcoin will hit 100K?
My opinion is as good as anybody else's, but yeah, personally, I think that it has a very bright future. I think that, you know, the power that it has, there's nothing else in the world that's really like this. There's 21 million Bitcoins. There will never be any more than that. And it's just purely based on supply and demand. And so it's like opposite.
You've convinced me now. I'm going up to buy some.
you be careful. You know, it's don't put in more than you're willing to lose. You know, for me, I see it as kind of binary. I think either Bitcoin is either going to be really a global money, a huge thing, or for some unforeseen thing, it will like totally flop. So you
had to take now. Maybe so I won't.
Well, you know, so then you have to calculate how much is that worth. You know, how much?
Now you're asking for me to do too much thinking. I don't know if I can do that. I'm just saying.
Definitely think about it. You know, I'm not a financial advisor. I don't tell anybody. You know, I'm a simple
Bitcoin rabbi. Simple.
Yeah. You know, what I try and do is, you know, I introduce like a little bit of like Jewish ideas into it.
So are there any interesting like shilas that come up or?
Yeah. Actually, so it depends which audience I am, like giving it over to of how much I go into shilas, like whether or not they would like understand. So, I mean, they're not like, okay. So the basic shilas are like, can you mine Bitcoin on Shabbos? Can you have your machine running? Which is not such a unique shila because it's has to do with the idea of two main things of Shvisas Kalim. Like, can you can you have your machines running on Shabbos? So like this has been asked as far as like e-commerce websites. It's been asked as far as like what do they call the soda machines. So the one thing is I'm the Bitcoin rabbi, not the Bitcoin rav. So I give drushes. I don't paskin halacha. That's, so people have to ask, but I do base what people other, like, not the biggest, you know, rabbanim, but like some rabbis that, you know, feel like they're comfortable paskin halacha have written about certain things. Again, this is not things that you're probably going to deal with in your life, but like I go through lists of like different halachas, like can you be Mekadesh? The most important question, can you be Mekadesh Isha by paying her Bitcoin? Another thing came like Maxis a Shekel, like a half a Bitcoin is worth $5,000 right now. So I don't know exactly how you give a Maxis a Shekel. But that's also supposed to be done in the currency of the Medina. So really, you're not fulfilling it if you give Bitcoin because you're not using the common currency.
So have you ever been tempted, or can you bid on Aliyos with Bitcoin?
Bid on? I mean, you can pay for anything
Have you ever been tempted to?
Just to kind of tempted, I, you know, in my shul, I davened into a small shtiebel where no one would pay for any. We have a hard enough time raising money, so I've never come up with that of saying high. Well, that's the thing. It's even tricky to, you know, high Bitcoin is going to cost you like a down payment on a house in Brooklyn. So,
My next question is not so much a shila, but can you Bitcoin a phrase?
Bitcoin. I don't understand what you mean by that.
I think you missed it. You missed the joke, Shlomo.
There's a term coin a phrase. So I was just wondering if you could Bitcoin.
Oh man, I'm sorry. I should have gotten that one. Oh boy. I don't know, but I'm stealing that. I'm gonna tweet that out. So
go for it.
our social media intern is already tweeting that out.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I actually had one more question. Do you think that there's ever going to be a female Bitcoin rabbi?
A female Bitcoin rabbi? Oh, no. Oh, boy. Would she be a rabbi or a rabbah or a rat? Or I'm not sure. Rabbanit, what.
I don't know.
How about a Bitcoin nenet?
A Bitcoin nenet. Because, you know, sometimes women are uncomfortable asking their Bitcoin shilas to the Bitcoin rabbi. So there might be to be someone. I mean, by the time, you know, my wife has had to listen to me talk about Bitcoin so much. She doesn't go by this title, but she's essentially the Bitcoin Rebbetzin at this point. She doesn't like publicize that at her shiurim that she goes to, though.
Right. And my last question is, what's the worst Bitcoin related story you've encountered? Like, you know, you hear these stories where like people threw away these huge sums of Bitcoin because they didn't know how much it was worth. Like, what's the worst one that you've heard?
I mean, there are a lot and they're very similar. But my brother just recently showed me actually a screenshot of his computer, of an old hard drive on his computer that said he had the Bitcoin program running. It said like last opened like October 2011, which the price of Bitcoin then was between $1 and $10 at that time. And he's like, I don't know how I had some Bitcoins on this computer, but I don't know how much it was and they're gone now. And so that like hurts. That hurts. But a lot of people make mistakes. It is hard because it's irreversible. There's no what do they call? There's no help desk. You know, there's nobody to call to undo it. It's called immutable, which is another thing that I like to, you know, I compare to the tire when I'm talking about it, like that we know when once it's written in the blockchain, then it's there. It's forever. And so, you know, that's like a comparison. You know, the tire is exact. It's what it is. It's unchanging. So it's powerful, but it's difficult if people don't know what they're dealing with.
I think, Menachem, Joe, you have any last questions or thoughts?
I think that's it.
That's it? So I guess on that note, I guess we'll end up. Thank you so much, really, Rav Michal, because we have come out of this interview a lot more enlightened, and we're going to sound a lot smarter in conversation now. So
I appreciate it. Here, let me just do my, I'll do my Masifta Rebbe's response to the Bitcoin rabbi, That'll just, Rabbi Isai, we find ourselves here in the 9 days. The world is going crazy. People are looking at the market, at the economy, at the Bitcoin. Rabbi Isai, bitachin in the Ribbono Shel Olam.
All right. We're going to end it on that. Okay. Rabbi Michal, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
Oh, thank you.